What's up, friends? Welcome back to the show. Here we are, episode 110, I think. 110 episodes. It's kind of shocking. I mean, I think it's technically 111 because I have one episode on YouTube of the podcast that I wasn't able to get the audio for, and then the others, I have some pre-recorded, but they're way, way back. I don't know if I'll release them ever. We'll see. But, I mean, who's to say, honestly, at this point, what we're doing with this show. I checked the dashboard thing on Anchor that, like, it shows you your listeners and, like, what who's estimated and not. And that number goes more up and down than my blood pressure, I swear. Every time I see that thing, I don't know whether it's believable or not believable, but, you know, the ones who stayed, I appreciate it. Thanks for always tuning in. I'm sorry I couldn't get an episode out for, like, the last 2 weeks. I've been slammed with work and other stuff that I'm doing. I've been traveling, been trying to figure this thing out with, you know, the show that I got coming up for July 2nd. So thank you all for bearing with me. My buddy Cal is with me as always. He's becoming like a guest host at this point. You know, he's probably done this show more times than I can count. but the one thing I wanted to talk to you people, welcome Cal. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Thanks for coming on. As well. Hey, shut that flipping phone off.
Well, it's coming from my computer, so.
Are you one of those people that hooks up everything to one line?
Well, when you have Apple computers, it syncs up with your iPhone. So
yeah, okay. You like that? You like Woof from The Office? You know that one app that like everything just goes off all at once.
Oh my gosh! Like a fax.
Yeah, and like a fax, a phone call, a bird hits the window because it's a homing pigeon.
Yeah,
but the window's never open.
Pretty much.
Oh man. You know, one thing I wanted to talk about today was, this month marks 16 years that I've been getting up on stage and playing music. It was June of 2007 when I first walked up on stage and started playing in front of people. And it's kind of unfathomable that that number is real to me. Because I never in a million years thought that I would still be talking about it, getting up on stage, writing, and it's just been an unbelievable journey. I don't think that I've ever put as much work into something, socially, artistically, than, you know, emotionally, maybe half and half, especially into this thing. Like, it's just crazy. And, you know, I have so much respect for what I do when it comes to my craft and how I'm changing my writing. You know, like, ever since I got back from Florida, just this last time, I went to visit a friend of mine, and I was watching the Keith Richards documentary on Netflix. It's an older one. It's like from 2015 when he came out with a solo project for the first time in a while. And just to see his joy and how after decades and decades and decades of playing, you know, he still has so much respect for the game. You know, like he talks a lot about his influences like Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry, you know, all these guys who played the blues for years and years and years. And it inspired me. Like, I came home from that trip, and I was just like, I need to get back into my notebook and start writing down some stuff, start writing down some lyrics, and try to explore new riffs. And I've been doing that. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this project that we're doing, and I'm excited for to do more filming. And I look forward to future projects. But I just want to thank every single person who ever came out to see me or Soda or Just Another Day. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling to think about how much time has gone by, and I'm so humbled to still be able to have chops and to get behind the mic, even if it's just this thing, because this thing is so much more freeing because I have a larger range of listeners at just in one specific spot. You don't have to go to YouTube or to like a show. This is always going to be here. So I just want to thank everybody for that. So, you know, and I always appreciate that I can still walk the walk, I guess. You know, it's kind of unbelievable that I still had one foot involved in music, no matter what was happening around me, the good or the bad. So, but I mean, I think about you guys too, with your recording, like how's, you know, your process is, you said it's going well, right? You guys have been, recording new stuff, and like, how's that, yeah. How's that changed from like, say when you started playing with these guys, 'cause they already had songs, but now that you're really involved, what's it like now?
I would say, well, when I say it's not, you know, it's like kind of new old stuff. It's stuff that they've been playing for a while that never got recorded. There is some newer songs in the works that, but even like the stuff that's been around for a while, you know, we all have our different hands on. So, songs change through different members, and the songs that we've come up with now compared to how they originally played are completely different. So,
yeah,
in that way they're new, but they're old in the sense that they were written a long time ago. So we're just now getting a chance to record all that, you know. So, that process has been going well. We're, you know, there's always bumps in the road when, you know, music is not a full-time gig, as far as scheduling goes. You know, we all have different secular jobs and different work schedules, and it's a pain in the butt to get together sometimes consistently. But yeah, when we are together, things go really good.
Yeah. It's so nice too when you have the same group of guys to where, like, the ones that you click with. You know, there was a time, it was a short time, but, you know, when me and Sully and Sebastian would get together and we would have really good practices, like we'd get together and fine tune what we needed to work on. And it was really a heavy amount of serious work, honestly. But when you're firing on all gears, it's very interesting to see your growth as an artist. You know, you're not just the new guy in the band or, you know, the oldest member in the band anymore. You're discovering new things about yourself, about how you're compatible with other people. So, I mean, I can imagine that you guys playing together for a while now, and obviously, what's the guy's name? The older new guy that's back?
Oh, Derek.
Yeah. Derek. So I can imagine, for him, you know, coming back into the fold, it must be kind of bittersweet, because it's like you have new components now, like new songs that you're learning. And was he a part of that before?
Yeah, for sure. I would say, you know, I can't speak for him entirely, but I would say it's just different. You know, it's not bad. It's just a different vibe now. And he brings an element of, you know, obviously his guitar and how it used to be. And it, you know, I think the two of us mold nicely.
Good.
Because I tend to have a more modern sound. And not that he doesn't, but he likes more vintage style amp tones. And I like, you know, very, I can't think of the word I'm looking for if getting like technical, but you know, a lot of my sounds are tighter. You think of bands like Periphery or things like that. I you know, I look to them for inspiration when I'm making guitar tones. But he's more of the traditional classic rock, where you crank your pre-gain,
your distortion to,
not distortion, but like there. So modern gain is different. It's a lot of it comes from your power amp section of your guitar amp, and you know, that's through different technology and through different things that have come up. But classic rock, like Zeppelin, to get that distorted tone, you're cranking your pre-gain tubes, which then distort the speaker. And that's how Zeppelin, you know, Jimmy Page got his sound, because that was the only option back then. You had to crank your amps to get distortion. So it's just a different sound. That all to say, you know, we tend to have different sounds, but it seems to be folding together pretty nicely.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I had tried so hard to discover different types of sounds. You know, I was in Maine for work, and I was working at the deli at the time, and we were getting a whole new system, like brand new computers and stuff like that. And I had to take one back and get it fixed. And I drove like 3.5 hours up north to get this one computer fixed. And, you know, of course the guy was taking forever to work on it because there's so much involved. And so I was like, let me see if there are any music shops in town. So I found like the one shop I could find. And that's where I bought my Canyon pedal, was because I was like, this is something I have not used or tried before, but I've heard that it's very, very good. So I was like, you know what, let me check this thing out. And I loved it. And I used it for a ton of shows. I still have it. So it's interesting to see how many different kinds of pedals are actually out there. Like you never expect to hear so many sounds. There's just so many options. So once you find your thing and it works, then yeah, you got to run with it. You got 100% run with it.
Yeah, for sure. I said that backwards, by the way.
What?
Zeppelin, those old like Marshall amps, they were cranking their power amp section. That's why it was so loud. In modern distortion, it's your preamp that they're distorting. Sorry.
Right.
I know there's going to be like somebody that listens to it and it's like, he said that backwards. So,
I think probably, you know, I'd like to do a part two of maybe the journey thing of, from, you know, my solo stuff to up to now, being solo again, like talking about the last 16 years. But because one thing I wanted to talk to you about, and one thing we had discussed, was wanting to talk about the Obi-Wan series.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
I mean, the first 4 episodes are out. If you haven't seen them already, they're on Disney. And
How deep are we going to go? Should we say spoilers or anything like that if somebody hasn't?
Sure.
You know, I mean, I don't want somebody to listen to this and be like, shoot, I didn't watch episode 4 yet or whatever.
If you haven't seen, if you're not a fan,
what?
If you're not a fan, then you haven't watched it. I'm sorry.
The thing is, man, is some people enjoy binging it. So they'll wait until they'll have the self-control to wait until the whole series is out, and then just one night straight
through.
There's
no such thing as self-control when it comes to this thing. I hate to burst your bubble. There's no such thing as self-control when it comes to the seriousness of this show. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that some people would refrain from getting too hyped about it, though. Not to be, you know, be just, I, you know, I almost felt that way because, you know, Disney shows at this point are either a hit or a miss.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
True. I mean, you know? I think it's different between Marvel and Star Wars.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
Because some of the Marvel shows that have come out, I'm just not impressed with in the least. It's, you know, it's puppy water as far as I'm concerned. But,
to sidetrack, but I feel like they're bringing out characters that they're like deep diving into characters that I feel like people don't care about as much unless you're like really into the comics. But
yeah,
anyways.
Exactly. I talked about that the last episode with Sam and Abram was that when they did like the Loki series, I was like, I didn't think that he was that beloved of a character that they should put behind him. And I was like, but you know, I'll still watch it all. I'm still a fan, but I haven't been impressed yet, I suppose is the best way I could put it. But anyway, all right. So spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the Obi-Wan series, stop the podcast now. Otherwise we're going in. I have to say I am very impressed with the series. Very impressed. Yeah. Overall, I'm satisfied. I have my conundrums. And, you know, it's not... The first two episodes were brilliant. Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they did such a good job with setting up what he's doing, where he is in life. You know, I think that you see him, he's so broken, but at the same time, he's holding out hope that, you know, Luke will eventually grow up and need to be trained. But I think maybe he learns later on in the series, as we see in episode 3, that he is just not capable of being the master that he once was. So, I mean, I'm very eager to see how they play out these last two episodes, because there's only two episodes left. As far as I am aware, there's only two episodes
left. That's what I've heard, yeah.
So, you know, I think that, I mean, how do you feel about the first two? Let's just talk about the first two episodes first. What did you think of when, you know, start to finish, before he hits episode 3? What's your take on him, both of them?
I would say I agree the same as you. It was a bit of a, I don't know if slow burn is the right word for it, because Boba Fett, that was a slow burn.
Yeah.
This was a little more fast paced. Overall I was satisfied with it. I mean, if you want to pick it apart, it still had a new Star Wars kind of touch to it, even though they're old characters. And that's something that I kind of have trouble with just in general, because again, like, I know Obi-Wan had gone through a lot, but I feel like it's the same thing like Luke in The Last Jedi, you know, episode 8, and not to that amount, but
not,
you know,
close.
there was a touch of it there. And I got scared for a second, because I was like, oh, are they going to make Obi-Wan into a loser? You know, like, oh, he's lost all of his confidence. But
no, I mean, it's here and there. You know, he's got, you know, again, it's he's broken, but it's only like in certain parts of the episodes. It's like,
yeah,
some things he has confidence in and some things he's just can't handle.
Yeah.
You see that through his meditation scenes. You see it through when like he's just a worker, like he, and he has to take the bus or the bus, the ship, whatever it is, whatever it is, into town and go to work. By the way, I saw a TikTok of him sitting on the bus and like riding, and then you see Boba Fett sitting on like the other side. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't see that.
So he's like on the other side of the bus or the ship. Oh. Yeah, it's a very split second like thing that that got pointed out. I mean, I'm sure there's speculation surrounding that, but I just thought if that was true, that would be really interesting to see the the parallels.
Yeah. Sure.
But you know, I think that the Inquisitors is an interesting part of the show because in...
That was cool, yeah.
You could see what a big presence they are.
Yeah, I you know, if you're a fan of the Inquisitors and I feel like you have to be a real Star Wars fan to know who they are, because if you haven't watched Rebels, then you probably don't know who they are.
Right.
And it takes a Star Wars fan that wants to know more about the story to watch that series. You know, there's some people that have a problem with cartoon animated anything, you know, and you know, there's those kind of people, whatever. But you know, that was an amazing series, and to see them brought to life was pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I like that they went with the originals. Like that they went with, you know, the Grandmaster you know, they didn't steer away from, like, they didn't try to introduce new characters. It was the same ones that you saw in the show that you see in the series.
Yeah.
So
make it make sense. Yeah, exactly. They did that well.
Yeah.
I like that they touch more about, like, especially the main, I would say the main character of the Inquisitors. I forget her name now.
Dark Sister.
Yeah. So, I think she's like sister number three or something like that.
I don't know.
You know, they kind of imply that she was in the Jedi Temple when Anakin was kind of on his rampage.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering what her backstory was, because it seems like she's been through quite a bit. So,
yeah.
I mean, I was wondering if they were like going to delve into her story for like maybe a flashback scene or something like that, but I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, I would hope so, because otherwise that opening scene would be pretty pointless.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I get that there was like the montage of, hey, this is what happened. I think that was actually really cool. You know, just kind of the prequel montage.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. It's like just to refresh everybody's memory of the seriousness. It's like,
yeah,
This is 10 years after and he's still tortured by it. Like this is, and I mean, in episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, you know, the producers were talking about it. I watch all those featurettes and stuff like that. I'm such a nerd. But, yeah. I mean, one of the producers was like, these are brothers. Like, these guys are best friends going at it. And you can see, like, just the betrayal and you know, the sadness. He's still, even in all Ewan McGregor's facial expressions and, you know, just the fact that he doesn't even want anything to do with being a Jedi anymore.
And I'm impressed, you know, as a side note, that Ewan McGregor has not skipped a beat, I feel like.
Not
as far
at
as
all, not for a second. I'm so happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that he's, you know, going through these emotions and things when he's trying to reach out to Qui-Gon Jinn, which I pray that he gets like at least a cameo.
God, yeah.
I'm like, please just go in there.
Yeah.
a little bit, just get in there a little bit. And because Liam Neeson has expressed interest in playing the character again, like there's no question about it.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I hope he shows up as a force ghost and all that stuff in maybe episode five or something like that. But that's always the hope, in my opinion. You know, I'm a diehard.
Yeah, if they don't do that, I mean, like, that's a total tease, because there's like a couple times where he's like talking, he's like master, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think those first two episodes were a great introduction into the series. Like, I watched them both. I stayed up till 1:30 in the morning just watching them. So,
oh, for sure.
So we get into episode 3, where, you know, he is. Is it episode 3 or episode 2 where Organa comes to him and says, "Hey, can you go get my daughter?" Like, because I'm at that point, I think people forgot that Leia's like alive and is on Alderaan and all this other stuff. And then they show Bail Organa like showing up. It's the same guy from the other series, like from Rogue One, and then from Star Wars. It's that I was pleased with to see him again.
But before we go any further, can we just acknowledge that Flea was an actor?
So great.
It's like, what?
So, little tidbit about Flea. Wild Thornberries. Any 90s kids will remember the crazy son, Donnie, that doesn't speak English. The kid that goes... Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers is the voice of Donnie in the Wild Thornberries.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's fortuitous that he's actually in the series, but yeah, it was awesome. I was happy. I was like, man, that's cool. It's funny.
If you remember, that ends with them getting off of the planet, narrowly escaping, you know, the sister, dark sister or whatever.
Right. Because she tells him that, Anakin's alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
and
funny
that was
because
like,
last... she knew his real name. So,
right,
you know, it's not like everybody knows who Darth Vader is at this point in time. You know, they only know.
Yeah.
Like there's only certain people that know who he is.
And well,
most of the ones he's
if
killed,
Obi-Wan didn't know,
most of the ones he's killed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, if Obi-Wan didn't know, it's, you know,
I think he probably just assumed that he burned alive on Mustafar, which is...
I think he wanted to assume that. I think there was a sneaking suspicion. There had to have been, right?
Probably
it's like
a tremor in the Force or something like that. Yeah, I mean, because you could see it's bothered him. So, you know... But we get to episode 3, and that just completely, you know, all my expectations were met for how strong Vader actually is. You know, he's more mobile. He's just angry, and like you could see the rage that he's had for the last 10 years.
And it's all anger. Yeah,
trying to put the pieces back together with his life, and you know. By the way, James Earl Jones did reprise his role as Darth Vader, and I could not be more thrilled that he did that. That was like the icing on the cake for me. I was like, this is the guy that started it all. 1970
something. Why do I keep thinking he's dead?
He's 91. He's 91 years old, and he's still voicing Darth Vader from back in the 70s.
It's the guy that was actually Darth Vader that died, right?
Yes, the body double. But Hayden Christensen's in the suit now.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's... Which he played him once in Revenge of the Sith at the end. So
right, yeah.
it's just interesting to see that that he's back like that. I was so proud to hear that. I was like, that's great, because this is quite possibly could be the last time that he voices Darth Vader. And for fans, you know, it's, you know, I'm happy. So, but I was not prepared to see the lengths that he would go to once he hears that Obi-Wan is alive, the lengths that he would go to try and, you know, get him out of hiding and try to actually kill him. I was like, when he goes through that one little town and just starts pulling people out and killing them, I was like, that is, even for Disney, that's like, wow.
Well, yeah, it's Star Wars Disney, though, you know, so I feel like it's a separate.
I'm just saying, like, you haven't seen that side of him before. He usually
Have you seen Doctor Strange? Even for Disney.
Don't bring that up. I mean, the one thing I could say was that right away I knew what this series was going to be when what's the black chick's character's name? Dark Sister 3 2 whatever. Anyway, the minute that like one lady tried to say something to her when they showed up to, I think it was Tatooine, when, you know, the one lady was, like, trying to raise her hand and say something, and then the chick just cuts her hand off, like, as soon as she starts to hide, like, whoa, this is gonna be a brutal series. Like, they're really after Obi-Wan. Like, like, where, do you know any Jedi? It's, and at that point, when I saw Vader just start choking people out because he had so much hatred, they did not disappoint when they said you're going to see a very powerful Vader. He's on one.
Yeah, he's on the top of his game, man. Yeah, it's like, you know, when you think about when he fought Luke, I mean, he's still obviously very powerful, but it's, you know, at least 10, 20 years later, so.
Yeah, like he's a young Vader in this. So.
Yeah.
A youngish Vader. I'm still like like foggy on how long Jedi actually survive, because, you know, Yoda was 900 years old when he died. So, I mean, I don't know if that's just his species or if that's Jedi altogether. It's,
well, look at Grogu. I mean, he's 50 years old and he was a little baby. So that was just their species.
Okay.
It's not Jedi themselves, you know. I would say it depends on the species.
Yeah, it is interesting. Because they have a lot more energy than, like, a normal human. So, I mean, it's just interesting to see how long they last. But anyway, I could tell that Obi-Wan was weak before Episode 3 came out, but you really saw it when he actually had to fight Vader. You really saw that shine through when he just completely, he crumbled in front of him. Like, he was so petrified and weak. And, you know, Vader sensed that. But he still couldn't kill him. He still couldn't kill him, which I was like, this is a very strange way to go about things. Because, let's be honest, he could have. If he wanted to, he could have really buried him. You know, he was just like toying with him at this point, in my opinion. You know, I think that at any point in time during that fight, he could have just wrecked him.
I don't think he wanted to, though.
I don't think he could. No, I think there's some part of him that just, he can't force himself to do it.
Well, maybe. I don't.
It's hard to know. It's hard to tell at this point.
But I think the torture was expected. You know, I think.
Yeah, torture.
I don't think he would just slice him and be done with it. You know, because that wouldn't be, if he's in the state where he's super angry and.
No. I agree with you. I'm saying, like, at the end of the fight, when the chick shoots, and like, sets the troopers, or just starts lighting troopers up or whatever,
Yeah, yep.
He was like ignoring all that. Like, I'm pretty sure that if he, at any point in time, if he wanted to kill him, he could have.
Yeah,
that's true. All I'm saying. Yeah. Like, he had the ability to. So maybe he just didn't suffer enough. I mean, I don't really know at that point. But, I mean, just to see those guys on screen again, it was super cool. But I was just like, it's just a very interesting way about to go about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was impressed that they wrote the story that way. I thought the fight was a little corny. I thought that they wasted a lot of time, you know, with them running around and stuff like that. I liked that and I didn't like it, you know.
Him running, yeah, it was like apropos, but it was also kind of stupid. You know, he running away and Vader would appear. And you know, it was kind of pointless because at any time he could have just like force grabbed him or knocked him down. Everything. And
yeah,
just,
exactly.
I think he was really playing up his mental state and, like, you know, trying to scare him as much as possible.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
If you really dive into the fight or, you know.
No, for sure. I mean, it's just interesting and kind of sad how far away he is from being a Jedi. You know, he doesn't want to be known as Obi-Wan anymore. Everyone's calling him Ben. And he's just distanced himself from anything to do with what happened, which I get. You know, it's like if something happens to you, you lose everyone you know. It's hard to maintain what you still believe in.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, if you're looking to the future, at some point, he definitely has to get it back. When you look at
episode 4, I think hit it me personally.
But when he fights Darth Vader or Darth Maul.
Oh yeah. Well, that's way down the line.
I know. I'm just thinking, you know, if you're comparing, this is kind of in the same universe. If you're thinking about Inquisitors and and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing before we get into episode 4 that I'm curious about is, like, in the next 2 episodes, there have been a lot of rumors surrounding the series, you know, one being that we're going to get a Darth Maul-Vader fight. And, I mean, that would just blow me away if that was really true. I would be so ecstatic if I saw that. But, I mean, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening at all.
I think it's more about, I think it's going to be more about Obi-Wan, but, I mean, going into episode 4, you could see that he has a purpose now. You know, losing Leia to the Inquisitors and losing to Vader, it's like, you know, he has the reason to be now. To go get her back, which you could tell that they have, you know, a really, really deep relationship forming, you know, especially when at the end of the episode when, you know, they lost the pilot and they were holding hands and stuff like that. It was like, you could see how close of a bond that they have now. And which I love. I think that's such a parallel to episode 4, A New Hope, where she sends him that message and stuff like that. It's just, it's really cool.
Yeah. You know, it ties more pieces of the puzzle together, whether George Lucas intended that to be the case or if they're, you know, making extra to be canon. Because when you think about that message in A New Hope, she specifically says, you helped my father before, which is also true, you know.
You served my father in the Clone Wars.
Yeah. I think it was implied that that's what she was talking about. But to think about that extra connection, you know, it makes more meaning to A New Hope.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So, I mean, and then in episode 4, like, I love the scene where they're both in the back to tank. Like, that is just so perfect.
To see
that, like, he now has to share the same pain as Vader. Like, this is what, yeah. And he said in episode 3, he's like, I'm what you made me. And now, mm-hmm. you know, because he threw him in the fire and all that stuff, and now, like, the juxtaposition of them being in the back to tank together, that kind of back and forth I thought was brilliant. I thought that was played out so well.
And, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to think that this is, like, still happening. I'm actually sad that it's... We only had 2 episodes left. I wish this just continued. But, you know, it's... I'm very pleased with it so far. Very yeah. pleased. And especially, I love that scene when Vader's like, just... they don't get him. He finds out Obi-Wan's alive, and he just bursts into the room and just starts, what was that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I told you what would happen. It was great. Brilliant.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to these next 2 episodes. What you got any expectations for the next 2, or what's your opinion about the series in its entirety so far?
You know, I try to keep my expectations low. I'm like yeah, I said earlier.
I know that about you.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
no, I know what you mean. I'm just saying.
It's not that I'm, you know, it's just with stuff like this, if I hype myself up too much, it's always going to be a letdown.
Sure.
Because there's always going to be something that you're going to pick apart. But
that's
if you
what
just,
we do.
Well, yeah. But if you just let go and let it be what it's going to be,
yeah, just take the
not going to be able to change it anyways. So if that way, you're probably going to enjoy it no matter what it is. I have, you know, I have a hard time believing that they'll mess it up, but I'm trying to think of season finales that they have recently messed up. I mean, I can't think of the name of it. What was the Bad Batch? That season finale was not the greatest.
Yeah, people didn't care for that.
No.
But I think this holds more importance in my mind. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like they probably know that, you know, and I don't think that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau were really involved in the Bad Batch. I think because they're doing the Star Wars thing, like when the Obi-Wan series now, it's like this is heritage when it comes to, you know, this is 20-something years ago that this happened.
So yeah.
They want to hold true to and pay homage to, you know, these characters that are beloved now, because you can't trash the prequels anymore. We've established that on the show 1,000 times. Is that...
The sequels or the prequels?
Huh?
The sequels or the prequels?
The prequels. You can't trash the prequels anymore. So, you know...
What do you mean? You can't trust them.
Trash. You can't trash them.
Oh, you can't trash them. Yeah. I thought you said you can't trust them.
Yeah, you can't trust them. You can't trust those guys. No. Just because of, you know, we've talked about what came after that. So, I mean, I'm excited for these next 2 episodes. I'm anticipating what they're going to do. I mean, and I think both of these episodes are close to an hour long, if not an hour. So hopefully we'll be getting all that and more. You know, I would like to see flashback scenes. Oh, one thing that I didn't talk about and that I didn't realize is that when he saw that mirage in the desert, that was Anakin. I was like, who's that guy in the hood in the distance? And then further examination, they zoom in on the character or on the picture, and it's actually Anakin. It's like a mirage of Anakin in a cloak. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's having a mirage. He's having like this thing going on in his head. Like, I can't believe Anakin's alive. Cause this is after he got told. So, I mean, it's like, I think it's
I thought with Qui-Gon, like they were messing with us again. That's interesting. I didn't know it was Anakin. Mm-mm.
If you zoom in on that image If I can find it, I'll send it to you. It's Anakin. It's him, like, fully healed, in the cloak, just standing there. And, you know, I thought they were going to, like, zoom in on him more and maybe do some flashbacks or something like that, like, from the movies, but they didn't.
Yeah.
But it's just very, it's very interesting to see where this is turning. You know, I'm very, all in all, I will say I'm just pleased. I'm pleased with the fact that, you know, it's happening. I was going to be happy either way. Because anything Star Wars content related, I'm in. You got me. So, you know, I think Ewan McGregor's doing a great job. I think Hayden Christensen's doing a phenomenal job as well. The Inquisitors are doing great. That chick that plays Leia, that little girl, is actually phenomenal. She's really, really good.
Yeah.
And you can tell how powerful she is in episode 4, where that chick is trying to break her and trying to figure out, like, what's in her mind. And
yeah,
she's getting
yeah.
nothing.
Right.
She's like, well, yeah, I'm powerful. And I was like, yeah, that's how, that's because she's Darth Vader's kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I will say I'm a little surprised and kind of sad that people are hating on the black chick's character. Her name's Moses, I think. Moses something. There, Ewan McGregor came out on, like, an official video and were like, you know, these racist comments that people are making about, you know, the person playing the character is just, he goes, you're no Star Wars fan in my mind. So don't, you know, it's just sad.
Wow.
It's just sad to see, like, and they did that too with, like, you know, the Captain America and Falcon series. People were making, like, death threats to the guy that was playing, you know, the fake Captain America. They were being, you know, just saying all these awful things. And I think to myself, you know, why in the world are people taking this to that level of just cruelty? It's like,
yeah.
It's a TV show, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I would think there's just bad people in the world. And then the other side of that is probably there's probably some mental health going on, you know, where that's their whole world. And in their eyes, it's real or something to that effect, you know. So it does not surprise me, because with any, you know, cult following or even beyond a cult following, there's, you know, there's just people that just, that's all.
They're just miserable. It's sad. It's really, really sad because this is such an anticipated series. For the most part, people are thrilled, but then it's like, there has to be those, that one person or multiple people that just ruin it.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad. You know, and I hope that it gets resolved. And I hope that we can enjoy the rest of the series, because I'm really anticipating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, but ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to wrap this thing up. This is, I know this was a short episode, but hopefully you guys are okay with that. I'm going to be giving you an ear beating in a couple days about the 16 years that I had on stage and kind of the journey. I'm not going to give too much away, because obviously me and Cal are still going to work on the documentary when we have time, because both of us are extremely busy. You know, Cal's got a job and a life. I got a life and a job. It's like we're both keeping busy. So, but stay tuned. Go check out all of Cal's stuff, his film company. Yeah, go check out my stuff. I got new music coming out eventually. I'm still writing. I'm in the writing process of lyrics and trying to get my guitar parts down. So I have a new-ish teaser for a song on TikTok. If you care to follow me on TikTok, @TheClappinator. The song's called 2 AM, which I actually started out as a joke, but now it's or a freestyle, but now it's I ended up finishing the song that night. So that kind of a little story before we go. I woke up and it was early. It was like 2 a.m. You know, I was, could not fall back asleep. You know, midnight, I was up. 1 a.m., I was up. And I was like, well, I can't go back to sleep. So I just got up and I was like, well, I got something on my mind, some lyrics. So let's test this thing out. So I put it up and I'd already got almost 1,500 views on it. So,
cool.
Wow. Yeah. So go check that out if you care to. Yeah. And that's it. And that's that. We're going to wrap this thing up. Thanks, Cal. Thanks for coming on, buddy. As always, you're the best.
Yeah,
I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
And we will see you all again. I'm sure Cal will come back on and we'll do a longer episode. But yeah, go check out the Obi-Wan series. If you haven't watched it yet, go check it out and get an opinion for yourself and fangirl it out. As far as I'm concerned, it's a great show, all in all. Anyway, all right. This has been a Why You Laughing podcast, and we are clear.